Foolish turtles.
Hollywood is a synonym for the stars.
Hello and welcome to Gayest Episode Ever, the podcast where we talk about the LGBT-leaning episodes of classic sitcoms, which is to say the very special episodes that also happen to be the very queer episodes. I'm Drew Mackey.
I'm Birdo, the bird dinosaur from Super Mario Brothers 2.
Famous transgender video game trailblazer Birdo, yes.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me on the podcast, Drew.
I mean,
I'm Glenn Lakin. I was acting.
That was really good acting. Funny you bring up acting though, Glenn, because today we're not talking about a single episode of TV, but we are talking about actors.
Well, we're talking about actors, characters.
Yes.
Specifically, dad characters. Sexy sitcom dads. Did I steal your thunder? Did you have a big like reveal for what we're doing?
No, it was pretty much that.
Okay.
Yeah. So people know. We are we both made short lists of three notable sitcom dads that we think are very attractive, and we're going to talk through them. Why we think they're hot. Not really debate. I don't think there's that much disagreement between us.
Well, let's find out.
We'll find out. The reason we're doing this is twofold. Number one, Drew is tired.
Who?
Drew. Mm-hmm. Me. Drew Mackey.
Okay.
Yeah. Editing these shows is a lot of work, and I've now edited four in a row, and I kind of want a week off, so this is what we're calling a week off. It's an episode that's not going to have any clips, so it literally is just me and Glenn talking. I'm sorry.
Sorry for your morning commute, fellas and ladies.
It's also the first of a new sort of episode that we're going to do that's mostly going to be on Patreon, sometimes on the main feed if I need a week off probably, but because we love the people who support us, even at the $1 and up level, all those people get access to bonus episodes. You get everything that goes on the main feed a week early, and you're also going to get these extra episodes that are just me and Glenn talking about various subjects, TV related, and you can also write in and ask us questions, and that could be a topic we discuss in a further episode. Probably a little shorter than the normal GEE installment, unless we're really long-winded.
Unless it gets heated.
Unless it gets like, you mean like sexy?
Yeah. Okay. I actually meant like argumentative.
Okay, that seems more on brand with you. Yeah.
Oh, more angry than aroused? Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. Go to patreon.com/gayestepisodeever if you want to pledge that money. If you're listening to this on the Patreon 1 week early feed, this is the first one you're getting. If you're listening to this on the main GEE feed, which is where most people listen to the show, you can pledge $1 right now and get another episode. So you have two episodes back to back of just me and Glenn talking. The second episode is going to be us discussing the gayish aspects of Perfect Strangers.
Sounds like a nightmare.
I think it sounds great. I think this will convince people to give $1 a month and maybe help us get stuff done on time, and also hear insights about TV shows that we realistically won't really get a chance to talk about, like Perfect Strangers. If your podcast app is one of the apps that has episode art rather than just series logo art, you'll notice that this episode's logo is different from the normal logo. We wanted a way to very quickly visually distinguish these episodes from the standard Gayest Episode Ever episodes. So we asked our friend Jeff Hinchy. Hi, Jeff. To draw us new art.
He's the best.
He is the best. He is a very talented artist. Go to jeffhinchy.com. That's jeffhinchee.com. And you can see all of his work. He does work for really cool publications, and he's a very talented graphic designer. And we are lucky to have him design this little thing for us.
You should hire him.
You should hire him. You should pay him for art. Do you enjoy that his version of us looks very Muppety?
Yeah, I'm a Muppet.
Are you?
No. I'm full of lies, like Muppets.
Right. Thurman's a Muppet.
Well, he's more of a special effects creation.
This is true. So, Glenn, let's talk dads.
Are we going 3-1?
3-1? What do you mean?
Like, meaning, like, saving the hottest of hot sitcom dads for last?
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay.
If do you have a ranking of...
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, then why don't you start with your number three pick?
My number three pick is Michael Hogan from... Valerie's family, the Hogan family, whatever iteration of the show it is titled. I don't know. He's a unique sitcom dad is because he wasn't on the show every episode. So maybe I just love those absentee fathers.
Also, he's single.
I mean, yeah. After his wife died, he is, if you're not familiar with the show, he is a pilot. So that's why he's gone a lot. And... his uniform was like that short sleeve, white button down shirt. and he had like very hairy forearms.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just a generally very handsome man.
He is very handsome. He also played Luke Perry's dad on 90210 back in the day. I was like, yeah, that seems like appropriate casting. I could see that happening. If you've never seen the opening credits to Valerie / Valerie's family / the Hogan family after they killed off Valerie Harper, put it on all the social media because it's one of our favorite theme songs mm-hmm. ever. And there's a scene.
It has such great highs and lows.
Yes. It's sung by Roberta Flack, which is not something you would necessarily know if you only know her from like Killing Me Softly. But there's a scene in it where you see Valerie running to meet him as he's like, clearly he's come back from flying away. And it's like, it's shot outside. So it seems real weirdly, even though I know they're just acting and that she left the show fairly quickly. Yeah, I understand why she's so happy to see her hunky husband. He's probably having sex with everyone across like his entire travel route, I would imagine, right?
Well, no, they loved each other.
They loved each other.
I mean, after she died, yeah.
Yeah. And after she died, Sandy Duncan is his sister?
Yes.
Okay.
And sense. Actually, I think that's brilliant casting, not just because I think Sandy Duncan is a talent,
mm-hmm.
but because they look alike. Like they even had like similar hair cuts.
I can see that. Yeah. Did you know that he has appeared on more than 3,000 episodes of Days of Our Lives?
Yes.
Starting in 1977.
I didn't say the actor's name because I don't ever remember actor names.
Josh Taylor. Sorry. Yes. His name is Josh Taylor. He was on Days of Our Lives throughout the run of the Hogan family. Let's call it the Hogan family. And he ended up reducing his role on Days of Our Lives because after Valerie Harper left the show, he thought his character should be there more, which makes
yeah.
sense.
But yeah, then he should.
And then he went back. Yeah. And he's as recently as I think last year is still on Days of Our Lives.
Good for him.
It's crazy.
Drew, who's your number three?
I'll tell you now, but it just occurred to me that we should probably make some sort of gallery. So if you go to the episode page, it'll be linked in the show notes. If you want to see who these actors are we're talking about, go click there. So Glenn's number three, sexy pilot, Josh Taylor / Michael Hogan from Hogan's Family. Mine is another 80s pick, and I feel like I might have to defend this one a little bit. The actor is Greg Evigan. He is the non-Paul Reiser dad from My Two Dads. The character's name was Joey Harris. He may not actually be a biological dad, but he's the fun dad for Stacey Keenan's character. Do people remember My Two Dads? Is that something we need to refresh people on?
I mean, you go ahead and refresh people on it.
Stacey Keenan's mom dies, and the mom is not clear which of the two men is Stacey Keenan's father, and then the two potential dads and Stacey Keenan all live together. Because that does not really make sense at all, but
DNA test would have cleared that right up.
Right. I think I've seen every episode of it. I just apparently don't remember the pilot very well. Greg Evigan is hot, I realize, in retrospect, when I think, based on something we were talking about, I Google image searched him, and there's a picture of him. It's a still from the show, and he's wearing, like, stonewashed jeans, and he has a very hairy chest and, like, a blonde Jesse, Uncle Jesse mullet, sort of. He sort of looks like Billy Ray Cyrus, which is not something that necessarily qualifies as really hot to me, but somehow it works on a way I can't quite process. The 80s jeans especially, I don't understand. He's extremely good looking.
Is he going to be our cover art just so you can stare at that photo for like hours on end?
I guess it has to be something. It should be maybe like a collage of various dads.
Sounds like more work for you and you want to do less work for this episode. So maybe just go with what your heart wants.
I'm a sick, demented person.
Sure.
In my notes, I have my hilarious joke that, yes, he is 80s hot, but anyone cast opposite Paul Reiser would seem to exude more manly sexiness. Just ask Helen Hunt.
That's mean. But my joke was going to be, so I'm guessing your number two is Paul Reiser.
It is not that at all. Paul Reiser, lovely person, I'm sure.
He's not a lovely person in Aliens.
No, he's not. It's weird that he's in Aliens, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. In doing a little bit of research on Brian Evigan, I found out that he was the star of the series BJ and the Bear,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which is not a gay show at all, despite
not
the title.
Yet.
I mean,
I have a pilot I want to send you.
That would be the direction I would go with it, too. He competed in Battle of the Network Stars for the ABC team. And so you can see him in a Speedo if you want to see that. I will probably post that clip online. Also, Battle of the Network Stars is such a charming thing that just doesn't really make sense. We can't really do that anymore.
No, but I believe it was the 2016 Olympics, Bravo did like a promo shoot with all of its reality TV stars. And they started doing that with like Camp Bravo, Summer of Bravo, and it was nice to see like all the crossover with their reality shows. And it had a very like, it had that same feel of just like, oh, all these familiar people getting to hang out together. I wanted to pretend like they would be friendly and they know each other.
Is it like that? I can't remember. I think it was Entertainment Weekly, but the Entertainment Weekly did a photo shoot with the starlets of the WB, and they're all dressed like Nine Muses. And it's a really cool shoot, but apparently not only did they have to shoot them all separately, there was considerable consternation on who goes where and who couldn't be by whom. And it, I remember whoever had a role in that setting, it was a huge pain in the ass to do.
Yeah, that happens a lot. Like anytime you see a movie poster that is a collage of characters, there's a lot of back and forth about who goes where, because like contracts are long, complicated things. And sometimes in those contracts, it stipulates like the size of an actor in relation to another actor on what side of the poster. And I'm not saying like that's actors being demanding. Usually it's just like, you know, their representation wants the best for them and wants their client seen in the best light. So this photo shoot wasn't necessarily reflecting on the actors.
I think they said that that several of the girls were also a pain in the ass, but okay. I'm sure
I was trying to defend them.
Right. I'm sure. I'm trying to think of who's the nicest of the WB starlets. And I'm like, Allison Hannigan. I'm sure Allison Hannigan was lovely. I'm sure. Right.
Yeah.
Is that like why Danai Gurira wasn't on the poster for Endgame initially? And then people were like, what the fuck? And they're like, okay, we'll make another poster. She's the only character not featured. Stupid.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of other issues behind that, Drew, but we're not going to tackle those right now.
Glenn, what's your number two?
My number two is Maxwell Sheffield from The Nanny, because he is a handsome musical producer. So I feel like as a gay man, like, yeah, that's hot. And he is like objectively very handsome, very charming, and a good father. Yeah, I forget how his wife is out of the picture.
She got sucked out of a plane. That happens in a flashback episode. It's really sad. I've seen very little of The Nanny. I can't speak for that.
So yeah, Maxwell has the accent and the job, and you know, his producer or assistant or whatever, CC Babcock is. She's sort of a gay icon. So I feel like if I am sleeping with Maxwell Sheffield, she'll be around and I don't know, we'll have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she'll hate me.
Mm-hmm. She'll come around to liking you or like have like grudging respect for you, but like still like battle with you, like with insults and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. That seems like the route she would take. He is attractive in a
actor.
Maxwell. What?
What's his the actor name? I'm sorry. I didn't write down any of the actor names.
Well, I was going to get there. I was saying he's attractive in a Maxwell Caulfield way. So Maxwell Caulfield is the British guy who plays the Sandy character in Grease 2.
Yes. I'm sorry. My mind went to Holden Caulfield, and I was like, absolutely not.
I don't think I've ever seen him portrayed by anyone ever, but yeah, I don't envision him being an attractive person in the least. The actor's name, you might be surprised to know, his full name is Charles George Patrick Shaughnessy, 5th Baron of Shaughnessy. He's a baron.
Huh.
Yeah.
So I'm even more justified in my ranking.
Mm-hmm.
Fight me.
I'm not going to fight. I'm agreeing with you. And also I can see how him being a music producer and the kind of like fancy British man that he is makes him gay adjacent for a little boy who like he's handsome to the point that like two women in the household both have like feelings for him. Mm-hmm. But he's fancy in a way that like an American sitcom dad probably doesn't get a chance to be. Number two for me is Louis Wong from Fresh Off the Boat, played by Randall Park. I find him to be incredibly sexy.
He is.
The thing that bothers me is that when, Charles Golding? Henry Golding. Henry Golding is the, like, breathtakingly beautiful actor from Crazy Rich Asians. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, like, look at him. And I was like, yes, he is, like, a perfect specimen, but Randall Park has been, like, charming, affable, likable, sexy dad guy on TV, at least since Fresh Off the Boat. He's been around for years, and I feel like he didn't get his due. And on some level, I feel as though Henry Golding stole Constance Wu away from him. As a plus for the actor Randall Park, he also has never publicly shit-talked his own show.
That is a plus.
I like that in a dad. Also, it's weird that I'm going to go back to Henry Golding for a second. Are we going to pretend like Daniel Day-Kim wasn't on every season of Lost?
Apparently.
Like, yeah. I don't understand why he's not on TV right now.
I mean,
either, actually.
He isn't.
No, he left Hawaii Five-0. Right. Remember they...
Is Hawaii Five-0 still on? Because I know I say that every season.
Yes. You're probably not the only person who asked, is Hawaii Five-0 still on? But he left and Grace Park who from Battlestar Galactica also left.
Yeah. I remember the dispute and they were right to leave. Also, producers of Hawaii Five-0 staff me. I'll go to Hawaii and learn about Hawaii and crime in Hawaii.
That sounds great.
But no, everyone recognized that Daniel Day-Kim was extremely mm-hmm. attractive during Lost, and it was often a talking point surrounding Lost.
Then I feel like every few
people just don't talk about Lost anymore, and there's a reason for that.
It's the same reason people don't talk about Game of Thrones anymore. But I feel like it's a weird thing where every few years pop culture pretends like it has to rediscover that Asian men are sexy, and that's not something that needs to be. That's kind of Columbusing, you know. Randall Park is hot, even though he played Kim Jong-un in that movie that got Sony hacked to oblivion. Remember when that happened?
I do remember when that happened.
And normally, because since I don't find Kim Jong-un attractive, that would be like a tarnish on someone. No, I still think he's sexy, even though I can see him.
Does it make you have more feelings for the North Korean dictator that you're not comfortable with?
No, it's a purely a Randall Park thing.
Okay. Yeah. Just making sure.
Yeah. Oh, I do have a crush on Margaret Cho.
Yes.
Yeah. I wonder if they've ever met and be like, it is interesting that both of us have played the same dictator. Ah. Oh, he's going to be in WandaVision.
Yeah.
Playing the character he played in the Ant-Man movies. Yeah. I'm happy he got to do that. I'm happy that WandaVision is a thing, even though I have no idea what it's going to be.
I mean, you have some idea what it's going to be.
It'll be weird.
Yeah. I'm sure it's just like either they are trying to reprogram Vision, rebuild him, and Wanda is inside his head
mm-hmm.
helping him do that, or she is working through some sort of trauma or a combination of both.
But why the fuck is Kat Dennings also there? All right. I mean, I'm going to watch it, so.
Are we going to start a WandaVision podcast?
Is it weird that I'm excited about something called WandaVision?
Is it weird that everyone knows who Scarlet Witch is now?
Is it weird that some people don't know that Wanda is Magneto's daughter? These and other questions will not be answered after this commercial break.
Life is such a sweet insanity. The more you learn, the less you know. In the heart of every family.
Hey, Glenn, we need to run through our housekeeping ad today. Do you know why?
Because you hate the sound of my voice?
No, it's because we're running a promo for another podcast. It's not even a Table Cakes podcast.
Does Catherine know?
She does not. I did not discuss this with her. The podcast is Fruit Bowl, a cool new show run and hosted by Dave Quantic, our friend and former Angelino, now living in Seattle.
Frasier, coffee, rain.
All those things, but first, some GEE stuff. We have a few new iTunes reviews, and I wanted to read one because I thought it was especially nicely stated. It is from Mr. Pig, and he gave us 5 stars and said the following. I am not a TV buff by any means, as I grew up in a basement and was not allowed to use electricity. However, I fully enjoy learning about shows that I've only known about through the lens of nostalgia. Extremely comprehensive, educational, and witty. If you know even the slightest inkling about TV, you might enjoy or relate to this podcast even more than Lil Ol' Gay Me. Drew and Glenn are both great hosts who play off each other well, but for some reason, I'm drawn more towards Drew. Don't know why. Nothing personal, Glenn. I promise. Also, the game show episode was hilarious. Blue jeans for days. Wasn't that nice, Glenn?
I mean, I'm a little concerned about their childhood.
Yeah. If you want to weigh in on the Glenn versus Drew debate and hear your side read in a future episode, give us a review on iTunes. And since I pick which ones we read, I'll give special attention to the ones that say I'm nice.
And I tend to ignore compliments, but not money. Speaking of which, Drew, any Patreon news?
So glad that you asked. If you remember, last week we didn't have a whole lot of news about Patreon. It was really hard. This week, we've got some new people to thank. Anyone who gives us $3 or more a month gets an on-air thank you as well as a compliment from the Box of Compliments, the world-famous Box of Compliments. And those compliments come out now. Glenn, prepare your box. That's how Glenn's box sounds.
A very soft, weak pop. Yeah, sure.
Christopher Paul Ellis.
Oh, he sounds like a famous author or comic book writer. Yes. The Stefan Urkel to my Steve Urkel. That's kind of timely.
Shy Guy Fox, probably not his real name, but
Literally, the only reason I get up every morning. Thanks, Shy Guy Fox.
Yeah.
I guess I'd rather be asleep. I don't know.
Yeah, no, no, no. You get up for him.
Okay.
Or her. Or them. We don't know the gender, actually. Thank you. Your contributions help us get this podcast out every week and also expand Gayest Episode Ever's offerings to include cool new stuff, including the upcoming bonus podcast.
If you'd like to give us a contribution, please go to patreon.com/gayestepisodeever or click the link in the show notes, which sounds much easier.
Hey, Glenn, shut up a second so we can run this promo for Dave Quantic's podcast, Fruit Bowl, a podcast that's an oral history about queer sex. You like sex, don't you, Glenn?
You told me to shut up.
Cubed Media presents Fruit Bowl, an oral history of queer sex, a podcast created and hosted by Dave Quantic. Masculine tops.
Power bottoms.
Butch girls.
Femboys.
Bears.
Otters.
Unicorns.
There's no shortage of labels that queer people use to describe different sexual identities and preferences.
But how do we navigate that horny, thorny path between realizing we're queer and deciding which boxes to check when filling out our dating profiles?
Fruit Bowl explores the unique ways we develop our sexual identities by sharing the sometimes messy, always fascinating, real-life sex histories of queer people.
Our first introduction to sex.
The embarrassing moments we'd like to forget.
And the reliable bedroom moves that we've discovered along the way.
Basically, all the stuff we wish we'd known when we first came out.
Each episode of Fruit Bowl features one person describing their queer coming of age and how their emerging sexuality affected their social and sexual evolution.
We kind of got the urge to just go for it and try to have sex, and it was at school in the bathroom in the handicap stall.
And then when we were done, I asked if we could hang out, maybe go see a movie. I didn't know. And he said that his wife wouldn't like that too much.
But Fruit Bowl isn't only about sex. It features deeply personal stories of survival, resilience, and the extraordinary efforts queer people make to stay true to ourselves and love openly without apology. After listening to a few stories, you'll soon realize queer people are strong as fuck. Learn more about the show and find links to all our episodes at fruitbowlpodcast.com.
What do you think, Glenn?
Oh, can I talk now?
Buddy, we're almost there.
It's nice to know your friends are near. In the heart of every family, there's a love that's waiting there for you through the years.
And we're back. Glenn,
mm-hmm.
Who's your number one?
Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I'm happy to see Uncle Phil get the top rank. Why do you find him sexy?
I mean, I think it's a lot. There's a lot going on there. I mean, yes, he's a rich judge, and so the power and authority is somewhat alluring. There is just, and I think it's when you contrast like his angry dad vibes with any time they go back to their old neighborhood or he dresses mm-hmm. down,
mm-hmm.
He just does. Like, he's able to bring, like, the same sort of sexy authority from, like, judge robes and also, like, $1,000 suits to, like, simple polo, khakis, whatever.
Right.
And I think what clinched it for me was when he showed up during the credits of that Family Matters episode.
Yes.
And there, he was just, like his fake anger was just very sexy to me in that moment.
Explain, because people might not know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, I forget what character he's even playing.
He's not playing. So
he's playing himself.
Richie has a friend over, and Little Richie introduces his friend to Carl Winslow, played by Reginald Bell Johnson, mm-hmm. who is a husky, bald, black man. And the friend's reaction is like, he does look like the dad from Fresh Prince. And that's the way it played in the episode. So you see that. And then over the closing credits, you see like the door flies open and James Avery, who played Uncle Phil, comes stomping out and shocks Reginald Bell Johnson, who was not expecting that. And they clearly know and like each other. They probably had been in the same casting office for like very similar roles, I'm sure. They hug and they're delighted to see each other. And it's like a weirdly real thing to see on a sitcom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was overwhelming for me. And then of course, like the voice, like Uncle Phil has a very sexy voice.
You know who he voiced, right?
Yes.
Tell us.
Yeah, and obviously he voiced Shredder. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of emotions around that.
Do you remember when you found out that Uncle Phil was Shredder?
I mean, it's sort of the same reaction to finding out that the grandfather on The Cosby Show voiced Panthro.
I forgot that till right now. I didn't figure it out. It was revealed to me during an episode of Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, the game show, where sometimes they would have celebrities call in with clues for where they would find the criminal. And there's one where it's him. So you see James Avery, the actor, on the phone, but he's doing the Shredder voice. And it says, James Avery, voice of Shredder, because I guess they thought for that audience, he was more famous as Shredder than Uncle Phil, even though they were both on at the same time. And that was the kind of thing I probably didn't shut up about for a whole week.
You know, Drew, with me, you don't need to specify where in the world is Carmen Sandiego, the game show, because the animated series is called Where on Earth is Carmen Sandiego.
Oh, I forgot about that. Do you know who voiced Carmen Sandiego in the cartoon series? You're thinking.
Jennifer Lopez.
Rita Moreno.
I actually was going to say from Rita Moreno, but then I...
She did such a good job because she made Carmen Sandiego sound like extra sexy, which is not something that character necessarily needed, but...
That is actually something that character needed.
I mean, I'm glad she did it, but she could have been like more of like a villainous spy type character or something, and she chose not to go that direction. James Avery, by the way, RIP, 2013. He was only 63, which is a bummer. Also did voices for the original dub of Fist of North Star and Super Friends. So I'm glad that people were taking advantage of like the fact that he had like a phenomenally sexy voice.
Yeah.
Also, do you remember that show Brothers? It was that sitcom about three brothers and one of them is gay. It was on Showtime in the 80s.
No.
We've talked about it. It's come up here and there. There's an episode where one of the brothers who is not gay is visited by one of his football buddies, and his name is Bubba Dean. He's played by James Avery, and it is through meeting the gay brother that he admits that he is also gay, and it's about it's a coming out narrative. I kind of want to watch that episode now.
Well, let's do that. You have the power to make that happen.
They're kind of hard to find. Not all the episodes are online, and it's not really streaming anywhere because history sort of forgot about it. Also, thank you for nominating a larger man for your sexy dad roles.
I mean, I'm not going to say you're welcome because that sounds weird.
No, I mean, it's just that if you ask people to like name like sexy anything, a lot of times bigger men would not make the list. And it's nice to like remind people that like, yeah, big guys can be sexy too. Okay, my number one is probably not a surprise if you listen to our Christmas episode. And I even thought about how it's kind of anticlimactic to end this way, but there's not any other way I could really do it. The guy I chose was Mike Brady.
Gay gasp.
I know. I don't necessarily think we talked. If you want to know about the whole backstory with Robert Reed and his frustration with the show and why a lot of his life in the spotlight was probably very difficult for him and why being on the show is also probably very difficult for him and why he was probably a very difficult person to be around. It's all explained in there. Looking at him, like, maybe it's just how he looks. Maybe it's...
the repressed homosexuality?
No, there's like a... yeah, I mean, it's that. There's a sadness there. And once you know his backstory that he just had a lot of frustrations with life, I kind of, like, have a weird... it's weird because this would be a very paternal thing to do, like to tell him that everything's going to be okay because he was always the
one. You want a Mike Brady, Mike Brady.
Yes, I do. That sounds really sexy. That sounds like a sex move. Yeah, I want to tell him everything's going to be okay and let him talk about his problems. It is weird that of all the shows, sitcom dads often have the role of being the one that someone comes to for advice and opening up about something and having a real talk. And Mike didn't often get to do that with anyone because... probably with Carol a few times, but like he was catching more than he was pitching, so to speak.
So to speak.
Robert Reed, very handsome man. Again, if you want to see Glenn's take on handsome silver daddy Mike Brady, pledge $10 a month on our Patreon. You can see all of Glenn's increasingly horny fan art.
Is
it's going up tomorrow.
Okay.
So we can just say it'll be up by then.
So Drew. On to honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions. People that didn't quite make our cut, but deserve a shout out for being quietly sexy. Who are your picks? Or a pick?
Stephen Keaton from Family Ties. With the beard, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, he was a hippie in his youth. And sort of control freak as an adult. And so it sort of ticks two boxes for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the episode that I was most attracted to him in was when he was teaching Jennifer to drive a car. Mm-hmm. I may have talked about this episode before, this scene in particular.
I don't know. Maybe
so
not.
So he doesn't trust her to go out on the road. And so he sets up a fake car in the kitchen. And they basically mime a car chase with police, mm-hmm. with Elise and Mallory in the back seat, and they're all just sort of miming an invisible car, cop car behind them, and it's very, very funny.
I do not recall this scene. I will try to find it and put it on social media, though. That sounds great. Another point in favor of at least the Michael Gross, the actor who played that character, supporter of gay rights, supporter of Meredith Baxter. They remain friends to this day. And they were born on the exact same day. Isn't that nice?
It is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a point that they were only actually 14 years older than Michael J. Fox. Mm-hmm. And so they had to up their character age higher than their actual age. And also, like, Michael J. Fox was playing younger than he actually was.
But he looks younger than he actually
is. He looks younger than me right now.
Yes. He scans quite young. It's the Rob Lowe syndrome. I'm going to give a shout out to Jeffrey Owens, who played Elvin on the Felicia Rashad show.
I almost put him on my list.
He's shockingly attractive. Like, when you go back and look at him, like, oh my God, like, he's like model pretty. And then there was that whole fucking stupid business where people, like, the news story broke out that he was working at a Trader Joe's, which is super fucked up. He's still good looking with his gray beard. He's a very sexy guy who worked at Trader Joe's and also happened to be Elvin on the Felicia Rashad show.
And it's like a trained Shakespearean actor. Yeah. Like, he's got chops.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too bad that for a lot of the storylines, his character was sort of a doofus. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the episode where he was having a sleepover there and he wore one of Cliff's, like, night robes? Like PJ, like, tunics, whatever you want to call them. It's just very weird and funny and kind of sexy, I guess, if you're into upskirting.
Oh, was it like a really short bathrobe?
No, it was long, but like no pants.
Okay, I like that.
Maybe there were pants. I don't know. Maybe
I do not remember this, but my
horny mind is just changing it.
I do not remember this, but there's a reason that stuck out in your horny mind, so good.
Yes. So another honorable mention for me is sort of a twofer, Brock and Van from the Reba show. Brock is her ex-husband, mm-hmm. who's just sort of like a handsome idiot. Mm-hmm. And then Van is the teenager who knocks up Reba's daughter. Oh. And he's also a handsome idiot. And so I just thought we had to include some handsome idiots on the show.
That is important. Yeah, there's a gay...
And both fathers.
And there's a gay episode of Reba, right?
Yeah, I don't want to do it.
You don't?
I do want to do it.
You do want to do it. Okay. I have never seen the Reba show. I will take your... I'll take your word that they're attractive. The daughter
Reba was a great show, and that is a hill I will die on.
The daughter's really attractive too, Joanna Garcia.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, all the daughters are attractive.
Oh, how many daughters are there?
Enough.
Several. So the one who played Ariel on Once Upon a Time, that is Joanna Garcia, and I saw her at the food truck in Burbank because ABC's right there, and she was there for some reason, and like she has the most beautiful eyes. It's like, oh my gosh, you're too striking to be outside a food truck. And if she was. I want to nominate John Posey, not well known as being a sitcom dad. However, he is the original Danny Tanner. He is also the father of Tyler Posey, star of Teen Wolf. He also appeared on Teen Wolf, though I don't think he played that character's dad.
He did not.
He played a doctor or something. Mm-hmm. Okay.
He has Steve Guttenberg vibes.
Yes, very much so. He's like a more standardly attractive version of Steve Guttenberg. And they filmed the entire pilot for Full House with John Posey playing the role of Danny Tanner, including the opening sequence. So as we will show you, because we're going to put this clip online for everyone, you can still watch that today. And it feels like a whole Red Universe, Blue Universe thing where you're seeing all the opening shots that like you remember from the Full House sequence. But instead of Bob Saget, it is John Posey. So they had to reshoot all of them, including driving on the Golden Gate Bridge. Yeah.
Do you think he wasn't in the series because he was too sexy and it made that household read as too gay?
I didn't think about that. Probably. Yeah, I mean, too gay. And also they probably wanted to. Now you're making me think about it. That's a really hard thing to cast because John Stamos is the hunky one. Mm-hmm. And then Dave Coulier is
the goofy one.
What is Danny? Like, Danny is like the uptight.
Fastidious.
He's fastidious. And I guess John Posey does not read as fastidious, But like, it's weird that having a more fussy, fastidious clean freak makes the show seem less gay. But you're right. People just assume that Uncle Jesse and Danny would have been doing it.
They should have been.
They should have been. I mean, I would say reboot, but like, they had a chance to do a reboot and they didn't address that obvious glaring oversight. So.
Oh, like you thought that in the sequel series, one of them should have come out of the closet?
Yes. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think that.
I'll just have new gay characters.
And they sort of, I mean, they kind of made Stephanie technically queer. So that's something.
We'll ask Ted about it next time he's in.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Oh, I have an honorable mention for Steve Rhodes, again, with the beard.
Explain who Steve Rhodes is.
Steve Rhodes is Marcy's original husband and next door neighbor to the Bundys on Married with Children.
Mm-hmm. So only when he like goes on the lam and comes back with the beard do you think he achieves full sexiness?
Yes.
Okay. Would you prefer him over Jefferson?
If you had no.
Okay. Well, I was just asking.
But Jefferson didn't. I guess Steve Rhodes didn't have any kids either, so he doesn't make this list. I don't know why I kind of considered him because a
he
second
seemed,
dad.
He seems like the type, and also Jefferson seems like a very non-dad husband, right, and like trophy boy, so
he seems like the child.
Yeah, I agree.
So I guess he doesn't make this list. I'm taking him off the list.
Do you want to put someone else up there? I know you have one and you're thinking about it.
I probably have several that I would...
You asked me about this one, if he was on my list, and I told you, I'm like, no, but like...
Remind me.
Ted Wass, who played Nick Russo on Blossom.
Oh yeah, another, then I'll replace him with Blossom's dad. From Blossom.
Ted Wass, Nick Russo, jazz musician.
Yes.
Which is the coolest dad job, I guess, of all the dads I've named so far.
I mean, just, again, objectively attractive.
See, I don't really get that one as much. That one doesn't really do anything for me.
Really?
Yeah, no.
Is it all the, like, the baggy 90s shirts?
That's not helping, and...
The long hair?
The long hair's also not helping, and I often don't find musicians very attractive, because through some personal experience, I've learned that they have a reputation for being dirtbags, and I don't find that so sexy. Sorry if you're a musician. You may not be a dirtbag, but you have to admit there are quite a few dirtbag musicians out there. Womp womp.
Any more honorable mentions for you? Because I only have one more.
Yeah, I'm going to give a nod to Alan Matthews from Boy Meets World, played by William Russ. I was a little too old for Boy Meets World, so it doesn't resonate with me the way it resonates with like guys who are like a few years younger than us and just like related to Cory and Topanga very, very closely. He is sexy as fuck on Boy Meets World. He's better looking than Will Friedle, who played the boyfriend, who was supposed to be like the attractive person mm-hmm. on the show. That dad is sexier. I think the sexy teacher is probably the most attractive guy they had on that show. But dad's very, very sexy. Did not really realize it until I was at a red carpet thing, and I was working at the red carpet and I had to talk to people. But the thing is, I don't always know who people are because I was terrible at that job. And I talked to him for like 3 or 4 minutes, and he was just a very normal guy making small talk about something. I don't even remember why he was there, but he's an extremely attractive silver-haired man now. No.
Guess I have to watch some Boy Meets World.
Not really.
Okay.
You just Google him and search him and it'll be okay.
My last honorable mention is Herman Munster. From the Munsters?
Oh my God. Mine is, I say, I have it typed right here. Herman Munster, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just going to throw it out there and just leave it.
Yeah. I mean, like, obviously just in the Frankenstein monster makeup. Maybe this is TMI. Like, I don't want to be choked in bed, but I'd let Herman Munster choke me.
That's fine.
I mean, he'd probably accidentally kill me as well. Like, that's just sort of in his character.
That's a major plot point in Frankenstein.
So maybe that's why my mind is going there. I just want him to kill me.
Wait, did we watch Bride of Frankenstein together?
No.
Okay.
Yes, maybe.
I think we did. Yeah. And so in the first movie, he accidentally kills that cute little girl. And in the second movie, like the parents come after him and he like...
Murders them. He just throws them in a burning building.
It was not supposed to be funny, but that is a very gay movie. And that was... We thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We laughed and laughed. Okay, well, I'm slightly validated that you had it on your list to not talk about, but like, yeah, he's tall, broad-shouldered, and just like kind of like sweet and innocent, but strong beyond all compare. So like, that's a type.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, there's something weird about that, and he's a very nice, caring person, also.
Yeah,
yeah. My last one was Anthony Anderson from Black-ish. And I don't know when he became hot, but he did. The first time I ever saw him is he played one of Jim Carrey's triplet sons in Me, Myself, and Irene, that not amazing Farrelly Brothers movie with Renee Zellweger.
I remember it because there is like a VPL scene, visible penis line.
Of who? Like he gets, Jim Carrey?
Yeah, he gets like a boner in the car or something.
I don't remember that. I remember very little of that movie other than the fact that all the entire soundtrack was Steely Dan covers for some reason. No reason I could think of. He's just like a big kid in that movie. And that by the time he was in Scream 4, because Anthony Anderson was in Scream 4 along with Adam Brody, they play partner detectives and both get killed. He gets killed really horribly in that movie too. But like,
spoiler alert,
if you've been saving Scream 4 for some weird reason, I just told you that a minor character dies. He's attractive in that. Have we closed the book on attractive sitcom dads?
I mean, no, there's going to be a ton that we missed. This is just the ones I pulled out of my brain the fastest.
If you have a suggestion for a sexy sitcom dad that you think should be included, tell us. We might actually talk about the stragglers in the next episode, the next time we do one of these casual chit-chat episodes.
I have an idea for a chit-chat episode about sitcom moms that I'll save for another time.
I mean, you can.
I don't want to say now. I want to tell you off the microphone and have it be a surprise.
Oh, for the readers. I understand that.
Listeners.
For the listeners.
There are. Yeah, we're not just talking with each other. You may have forgotten.
I do forget that. That was kind of the point of this show, of doing this, is to have less structure and have more of a normal conversation.
Will it work?
Did it work?
For you.
Okay. All right. Also, if you have a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to discuss on one of these, hit us up. You can just tweet at us at Gayest Episode, or hit either of us up on Twitter and tell us there. I'm Drew G. Mackey, M-A-C-K-I-E, and you are I Write Wrongs, right with a W, because that's how you spell it.
Correct.
We got some really good news this morning. We're recording this on a Monday. We got a shout out from the AV Club.
I'm familiar with their work.
AV Club is important to me because it's probably where I would go to read a review of TV especially, but also I usually put a lot of stock in their movie reviews. In their roundup of podcasts worth listening to, they included our Seinfeld episode as the most recent Seinfeld episode as not sucking. And we appreciate the bump in visibility. And when we started this a while ago, I kind of just never thought we would have any recognition from an outlet I actually give a damn about, but I'm glad we did.
Yeah, it's so, nice. Thank Validation's
you.
Nice.
Thank you, Zach Brook, for being the one who wrote our little blurb on that.
First of many.
I mean, ideally, yes. Again, we have our 50th episode coming up very shortly. This will be the 48th episode.
Uh-oh.
I know. So it's right around the corner, but we have something really cool planned, and we hope it delights you all.
Mm-hmm.
So please get ready for that. You just have to wonder about what it is. Can we give a hint?
The hint is you will not hear my voice for an episode.
It's true. Unless we like startle
yeah,
you.
I mean,
like...
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Okay. I'll find some way to make you.
Well, I'm sure we'll have to intro what the fuck we're doing.
You should just jump right into it without an explanation. We will intro it, yes. But
So get your fill of my gobbledygook now.
Gobbledygook. Is that how you describe your voice?
I mean, I say a lot of things.
You do say a lot of things. I think that's everything for this little subject. We hope you don't, at the very least, don't mind that we went off topic for this episode. And maybe that you even enjoyed it. Or perhaps you're yelling stuff at your DVD playing.
DVD? What?
Hope you're, or maybe you're yelling stuff at your podcast.
Yeah, I was about to say, do you think people burn this on a DVD and are listening to it?
Someone somewhere has listened to a podcast by doing that. I don't know.
I'm sure they'd burn it to a CD.
Well, they don't have any, and they just have these DVDs lying around. I don't know what I'm saying. Again, if you're listening to this on the main feed and you want to hear one other installment of this right now, you can go to patreon.com/gayestepisodeever. If you're listening to it on the Patreon feed, you're going to have to wait a few days at least. But it'll be on its way. And Glenn, it's been memorable talking to you today. Very memorable experience.
You're going to remember this?
I didn't want to say it was nice. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do Do you want me to draw some horny Herman Munster art?
I kind of do, but I don't know if the world wants that.
Okay.
That might be.
I'll just do my two dads then.
Yes, please do my two dads.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Episode, mini bonus episode over.
Bye forever.
Bye forever.
Double Kooks.